So this morning we're going to start with standing posture. And just like standing meditations, you're going to have your knees about shoulder width apart. You're going to bend your knees towards your toes. And in this posture, we're going to actually allow our arms to float out to the sides. And to really get the relaxation of this, you want to flow your arms out and then lift them up with your shoulders, and then drop your shoulder blades. Drop your elbows, drop your wrists, and then relax your fingers, but extend them outwards a little bit. Almost like they're being pulled this way by invisible helpers or strings or something. That's just basically step one, is to get a sense of that posture. You want to let your tailbone drop. You want your head to go upwards so that you're hanging from above. Now, with this, the most common way I describe this is like you're standing in a swimming pool and that your hands are floating on a couple of volleyballs or something like that. And the idea is that the volleyballs don't like each other, they're moving away from each other. So we get this really gentle, passive, kind of yummy stretch with our hands, just because they're always reaching away from each other a little bit. So as that's happening, what we're going to do is bring another really deep opportunity into our meditation practice, especially if you're standing, but you can do it sitting or lying down, or perhaps even walking, especially on the beach, because this meditation is called Standing in the Ocean of Truth. Dun, dun, dun. So imagine you're standing maybe knee deep or hip deep in the ocean. And if you want to use that to help you play with the sense of tides, that's also appropriate. Or you could decide that that's too much going on and then don't get caught up in that part. The more important part, though, is that it's the ocean of truth. And by truth, I guess I'm implying what we would call capital T, holy crap. This is really like an essential part of my life truth, because sometimes we really have to go there. So here we are standing in the ocean of truth. And if you can imagine the ocean in the background of your mind as a sound, then use that to just help time your breath. So as you inhale, whatever you remember the sound of the tide being, just use that as a kind of inner wave of time and feeling and sensation, and breathe out the same way. And this is kind of like incremental breathing, but now it's just sort of relatively random, because the ocean doesn't have like a set time. It really depends on the set of the waves. So while we're standing or sitting or walking, or even lying down at the beach, we really want to just have a relationship with the ocean, the entire planetary ocean of truth, of life. So if we were to get into some breath work, the releasing breath or the letting go breath would be a good idea, I think, because you're in the ocean. And if you have some things to let go into the ocean of truth, this is a good time and place to do it. Let's try that out. Take a deep breath. Relax it out. Then breathe in really deeply and slowly. Hold the breath at the top in the ocean of truth. What needs to be let go, and let it go. And again, with standing, some people would say stay still. I would always say keep moving, keep adjusting, keep the aliveness alive. So we can work on that second breath of inhaling, really getting a sense of the feeling we're experiencing or identifying with, and as we exhale, to let it go. And if you want, you can even move your hands around and do whatever you like. Qigong gang signs, it's all the rage in China. So another opportunity in this practice is to use our more nourishing and receiving breath. because you're in the ocean. And that's where life comes from. So if you're looking for a sense of aliveness, that's pretty cool. And if you want to have a sense of the aliveness of the ocean, I think if you went on YouTube and looked at a microscope drop of ocean water, you might freak out at actually how much is inside a drop of ocean water in the sense of life. So if we were to take a deep breath in, exhale all the way out, hold the breath out, feel your need, your authentic truth of need. When you're ready, inhale and draw it into yourself. Okay, excuse me. So I'm going to move towards the camera because we're going to have a little quick conversation about addiction, or I'm going to yak about that for a sec. But if you can or you choose to, try and stay in whatever posture you're in a relationship with the ocean of truth, because what we're going to get into is really all about that. So one moment, please.
Excuse me.
So we're going to talk about something that I describe as the three whys of addiction. And when I mean whys, it's like, why not? Why should I? Why does this happen to me? Whose fault is it? All that kind of stuff. But before I speak to those three really unique aspects of experiencing addiction, I'm just going to bring your attention to the practice we have of daily cold showers. First thing I would encourage you to consider, especially if you are facing any kind of addiction, and maybe we'll get a good sense of that in a moment. Cold showers are the opposite of your comfort zone. So if you're really wanting to challenge a boundary, change a threshold, then in your cold showers, try and keep the cold on for 45 seconds and then the hot on for about 20 seconds. And at this point, hopefully you're breathing and being really conscious of your body in your cold showers. But the idea here, and I'm sure you've seen these little diagrams that say, you know, your happiness, your sadness, your comfort zone, and nothing cool happens in the comfort zone, so you have to go over here. Or, that was a terrible description. But you probably know what I'm trying to talk about. And I don't think there's anything more truth to life than saying, if this is easy, comfortable, and you're not learning anything, that's probably not a really good place to be for very long, unless you need a nap. So see if you can develop a conscious relationship with challenge your sense of comfort, because most addictions are about comfort and pain. So there's a kind of courage and a kind of what in Chinese medicine we call zheng qi, which I've talked about before. We talk about the idea of orientation to the world and how disorientation can make us play out a part of our nature that may not be our, I don't know, higher angels. So if we're going to reorientate ourselves to the world, why not do it in the ocean of truth? Why not do it in your cold shower? Why not do it in the next really challenging conversation you have so that you're very aware of comfort and discomfort, disorientation, and then coming back to reorientation? And if I had a more eloquent way of putting it, I would try, but I think that's as close as I can get. So, excuse me, just adjusting one quick little unit of my setup here. So the three whys of addiction, I'll put a link to a podcast I did a few months ago called The Three Whys of Addiction. It's almost 2 hours long. Because it's a very deep subject, it's a very personal subject for me. But if that's something you really want to have a deep, deep sense of from every possible perspective, that's a really good thing to hear. So again, I'll link that to this, but I'm going to do a very abridged version of that in hopefully a few minutes. So the easiest way to put the three whys of addiction are, I'm okay, oh crap, and oh yeah. What? So the first thing that I would say to anyone who's experienced any kind of addiction is take a step back and notice that you're facilitating some kind of self-control. And that's actually what we're all doing all of the time. We're just now doing it chemically in a way that's probably harmful. So instead of focusing on the fact it's harmful, you have to focus on the fact that what you're doing isn't some horrible evil thing. What you're doing is essentially the same as taking, you know, an anti-anxiety medication like Xanax. You know, I think if I ever watch commercial television, it's as much as, I'll be right back, I need a Xanax. And they run off to, you know, take a pill. So the point of that is self-regulation is not always something we can do as self-regulation. Sometimes we look for things outside of ourselves to regulate our experience. And in no way am I making an excuse for any harmful addictive behavior. What I'm asking anyone to consider is you're trying to regulate your experience so you don't act out in a worse way or experience life in a more harming way because you're losing control of yourself already. So the first why of addiction is what you're doing is okay, but why you're doing it is really important. And that's what we call it, the three whys. Because honestly, until you know why you're reaching out or why you need to control some inner sense of distress, whatever you're doing is relatively a band-aid. But once you have a true, authentic sense of why, hence the ocean of truth, then you're beginning to actually heal your whole self. If you're just focusing on the fact you like sugar or you like cannabis more than you probably should or alcohol or even pharmaceuticals or something even harder, you're focusing on the what, not the why. And this is true of any kind of addiction training I've ever had, counseling training I've ever had, is the first real inquiry is why? Well, why is this something you need right now? And what are you actually fundamentally, you know, what are you getting from this that's actually in some way keeping you in your life, right? Because obviously if you wanted to go out, it wouldn't be an addiction conversation. It would be an attempted suicide conversation. So hopefully you're still standing in your ocean of truth. Hopefully you're still in a place where you can let things flow and release and with the tides, like yin and yang, good and bad, right and wrong. Keep finding the truth in that, because we're all often acting out with impatience and trauma and these inner disorientations that we can't understand yet because we don't have the time, the patience, the maturity, the support, the connection to do so. And I would actually put connection at the front of that because connection is probably the most important. And that's often why people choose addiction is, well, if I'm not connected to anyone, then I might as well just go to sleep. So the second why is what I call, oh no, or oh crap. Excuse me. And the fundamental why of that is you kind of eventually have to identify with why this is going to destroy your life or your health or your metabolism or your relationships and try and use that motivation to self-correct what you're doing. And it's not about shame and blame and guilt. It's about just realizing that you're on a crash course if you are, and that if you don't want to crash a lot of other parts of your life or other people in your life, you want to start reaching for some help because we need that. So sometimes I ask my patients or myself, well, what are the things that I know are consequences of this behavior? And can those consequences outweigh the trauma, the pain, and the disorientation? And if they do not, then you're going to need some more help. And if they do, and they always are important, at least the experience of, I know why I'm committed to changing my behavior and life. And that fundamentally will most of the time give people some inspiration. If you look at the things that may be going wrong if you keep doing what you're doing and you feel more ashamed and more at fault and then you want to go into worse behavior, then you really, really need to start getting connected with people who can help you because your mind is on a loop of what's wrong and it's my fault and what's wrong and what could go wrong and that's my fault too. And although maybe a part of that might be true, if you're in a state of disorientation, who's the one whose fault it is? A hurt child who is really badly treated by someone, or a person who's completely upright and authentic and, you know, right with the world, because if you were that person, we wouldn't be having that conversation. And that's where humility comes in, because you have to be able to say, oh, okay, I've really taken this in my life so far, and I need help to bring it myself back into an authentic orientation. So number three, which I would simply just call, oh yeah, is the recognition that if you actually start changing your life in a positive way, can you start making a list of all the positive things, the wins, the really good ideas that you could see happening? They're the wins, they're the yeses, they're the things that you know will be so much more amazing in your life if you actually come back to yourself, come back home to who you really are. And in no way is that meant to sound like an on and off switch. I wouldn't even suggest considering that to be less than a few months of really deep, thorough, daily, moment-by-moment personal awareness and work. And I know that from experience, so I'm not just talking out of my ass. So anytime you feel like you are hooked into a behavior, a substance, or something that feels like an addictive place to be, find out why you're doing that and come to the ocean of truth with the truth of that why and the truth of that disorientation in your life. When you can find the humility and hopefully have a really good cry about that, then you can sit with the oh no and go, oh, if I keep doing this, I will lose this relationship, or I will destroy my metabolism, or say with sugar and alcohol, I will probably get Alzheimer's disease. Yeah, that's a thing. So try and find that balance between why am I doing this? What could really go wrong? And from that truth place, look at what will happen when you actually can free yourself, reorientate yourself to the world, and actually fundamentally celebrate the joy of coming home to yourself, because now you're doing the things and receiving the experiences of doing what you've always wanted to do. So that fundamentally oversimplifies about 2 hours of information, but I would encourage anyone to really sit with that. Our Saturday mornings during our 49-day practice are going to be kind of soul check-in opportunities to just go deep into what it's like to be alive in the 21st century with everything that's going on that's kind of new and really hard. And I really deeply pray that this is affecting you in a positive way. And hopefully even that little bit of a okay, oh no, oh yeah way of looking at it may give you a bridge to have some conversations with people in your life or your family that may really need to start seeing those truths in their life. Please really check in with yourself before you have that conversation that you're in a really good place and you're really coming from compassion. So enjoy standing in the ocean of truth. There's really nothing else going on in the universe when you really sit with it. Use your breath work to let things go that need to go and forgive your life and your family and yourself with profound personal and universal compassion. When you feel like you're in need of solace, instead of reaching out for something that you have a negative association or an addictive association with, use your receiving breath to try and instead of reward yourself, reconnect to yourself, reconnect to others. Random conversations with strangers are probably healthier than substance abuse, so find connection. And that may fundamentally give you another way of being in right relationship with your authentic self. So thank you all for participating and getting up early on a Saturday. Again, if there's any questions or big things to share, I'm going to stay on for a little bit and check something I can see out of the corner of my eye. And blessings, blessings, blessings for deciding to be conscious in your life. What's on the TV? Okay, so Dove asked about socially accepted addictions like caffeine and sugar.
The oh crap feeling, I think, is that you can't sleep anymore, or your body is changing in ways, your sleep or your memory are changing in ways. You're aging much more rapidly than you expected in some way, because any kind of harsh chemistry is harsh chemistry. So if a person's like, want to go out for a coffee, it's like, oh, okay, I'll have less, or I'll have a bit consciously instead of, I'm going to get wound up and go nuts. So, yeah, peer pressure never stops, does it? Okay. So I think that's the questions. Losing relationship with self? If somehow what I was saying came up to losing a relationship with yourself, I did a really bad job of this. Fundamentally, it's about becoming profoundly intimate with yourself, so maybe I misread that. Anyway, I'll see you guys and girls and dogs and cats and whoever else is out there tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, and we're going to do some things around gratitude and generosity. So have a great Saturday. Thanks for coming out.